Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a big down! Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM as we are here, and if you're here and I'm here, then we're going to take you till 6 o'clock. That means Brian McDonald is with me. Jeremy is off gallivanting across Kansas City to do the Cougs later
today. Our beloved Cougs!
And then our special guest host is doing what this special guest host seems to do every single time he's on with us, Brian. Barry Laminack is going to be late.
Yeah, when you told me before the show, when I saw you out in the bullpen, like, hey, Barry's going to be 15, 20 minutes late, I was like, well, is that really news? Barry's always late. Like, I didn't expect Barry to, at the very best case, I would see Barry at 2:59. That was the very best case. So it really wasn't breaking news to me that Barry was going to be late.
Yeah, I think that in all the time that we've had Barry fill in for Jeremy in the past year or so, there hasn't been one time where he has been on time. Just the truth be told.
Yeah, he would try to push back and say, as long as he's in the seat when the intro starts, he's on time. Which is throwing it back to a previous host here. It's a very Brad Kellner approach. You would famously walk in right as the show was starting and then sit down.
Yep. Well, he's going to be with us.
And, at some point.
Yeah, and we're gonna kick it around until 6 o'clock. Got a busy show for you today. We're going
to
have...
We're supposed to have a show today.
Yeah, that's because you're stupid long horns. Now I'm going to start doing horns down, and I don't normally care, but yeah.
It'd be a 15-yard penalty if you did.
Let's just be honest. Truth be told, if the Horns lose yesterday, if the Aggies win, the Aggies are playing at the exact same time today. They are playing right now, and yep. Brian and I are enjoying another day off. Instead, I cannot tell you the angst and the anguish of watching the two overtimes.
Double overtime.
Especially with a 5-point, because the Aggies played like ass. For most of the regular the game. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, here comes the run I was looking for. Got it to overtime. Actually was pulling up, of course, for the win in regulation. But then in overtime, they have a 5-point lead with like 2 minutes left. I'm like, bingo, day off. And then the bottom fell out.
Yeah, like, let's not skip past regulation because, like you said, they pulled ahead after playing like crap for most of the game. Maybe not like crap, but at least be trailing for most of the game. They pulled ahead with under a minute to go and then had a chance with, I think, about 20 seconds to go to hit a free throw to take a lead that would have been the difference in a win to not even go to overtime. And I can't remember who missed the free throw, but they missed the free throw, goes to overtime. And like you said, Aggie scored the first 5 points in overtime. To a point where the Longhorns didn't score until, I believe, just under 2 minutes in that first overtime session. And yet it went to overtime, too, and Longhorns pull it out.
Yeah, that surmised my anguish yesterday.
Even as a Longhorns fan, I was also a bit conflicted, not only because of the off day, but I don't really want Rodney Terry as the Longhorns head coach anymore.
See, and you and I were talking about that, too. I don't think you have anything to worry about. I think that
him being alive keeps any – look, it might be 1%. But him being alive in this SEC tournament, therefore keeping his chances to be in the NCAA tournament, keeps whatever remote chance there is of him being retained alive. And that's what I don't want.
Yeah, I think there's enough talent on Texas that they are capable of winning a couple games in the tournament
They
get in.
And if they get in and he makes the Sweet 16, he's coming back.
I think you're probably right, although I just feel like Texas is too big of a commodity. It's too big of a program. It's too big of a sports entity to allow what Rodney Terry's got going on. I understand from the way he recruited that he got
a big-time recruit that's going to be a top five pick in the NBA draft. But that should tell you even more that you should be a winning program that's not on the bubble and one of the last four out entering the conference tournament. So the fact that they're still in this predicament tells me that Texas expects more, and I don't think that he's doing enough to retain the job, no matter what he did when he took over a couple of years ago for Chris Beard.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're right. I think as evidence, as you talked about, I mean, the expectation for what they've done is not be a bubble team at this point in the season. They were, I think, preseason top 15, definitely top 25. So, and you would think they came into the SEC tournament as the, 13, 14 seed? That is not the expectation. I mean, obviously football is king at the University of Texas, but the expectation even for the basketball program is not to be the 13, 14 seed in your conference.
No, they're too good. They're too talented. And again, even with this roster, I think that's why he is in jeopardy of losing his job. And on the flip side, you look at what Buzz has done. I think the Buzz thing is so interesting to me because of the fact that I saw him win at Virginia Tech. I saw him win at Marquette in my hometown, which was a tough gig at the time. And I believe he's a really good basketball coach. But then A&M overpays him, and it didn't get the results the first couple of years.
Do you feel like there's a ceiling? Because I feel like the people that I know who are Aggies fans who have, you know, obviously been excited. Like you said, Buzz has won everywhere he's been. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously a great coach. No doubt about that. Can't take it away from him. But it feels like there's kind of been a ceiling with him. Like, okay, he's really good. He'll get you to the Sweet 16. You'll have great regular seasons. But is he ever the guy that's going to get you to the Final Four or a national championship?
See, it's interesting because to me, I believe he'll win wherever he goes to a certain extent, to your point. But now, because we're talking about a new day and a new era of college basketball, when the NIL and the money, I think he's a salesman. And I think that he should be really good in a community that's really good about giving money to their university. I think he'd be really good at making sure that they have a ton of money to play with to get guys that they need to get. And so, therefore, I think his recruiting will be okay, too. But on the flip side, to your point, I just don't know as much as he can win enough, is he the guy that can get them to win at the highest level? And I don't think that he has shown yet that he's on the same page as Kelvin or, you know, and that's a tough ask to say of Kelvin or Bill Self. But even, you know, even the guy that he, when you look at it, the expectations are always so high because of the money at A&M. But you would think that he would already have gotten a team to the Elite Eight and or a Final Four and done some of those things. So yeah, I understand where that question comes from.
Yeah, it's just it kind of feels like, and this kind of reminded me because Texas is playing this team and this head coach right now, but he kind of reminds me of Rick Barnes at Texas. And Rick Barnes obviously with TJ Ford got to a Final Four. But when you look at Rick Barnes' overall tenure there at Texas, I mean, more times than not, when they would be knocked out, they would be knocked out by a lower seed. He actually had zero tournament wins over higher seeds during his time at the 40 Acres. So it kind of feels similar to me with Buzz Williams where, okay, you know he's going to be 20-plus wins in the regular season. He's going to have you as a top 25 team. You're going to get to the tournament. You'll probably win a game in the tournament, but you're kind of capped at Sweet 16.
But this is weird for me to ask you this question simply because you went to Texas. You know what Texas brings to the table. But it's almost like the questions that we ask ourselves of the Astros, of the Texans, to some degree, and not the Astros as much now, they won the World Series. But it's like, as a fan, now that you've stepped a step back from where you were with Rick Barnes, do you miss that? Was that good enough? Because I thought that the first thing I thought when I saw his face was, aside from the fact that the beard thing was just a bizarre off-the-floor mess, that they were looking to try and take it to another level when they moved on from Barnes. But Barnes did a pretty good job at least making him top 20 every year. He got Kevin Durant. He got big-time NBA recruits. He put together decent teams.
He did, but, I mean, it was just the same thing every year. I mean, you mentioned Kevin Durant, and that was a great year. They beat Kansas in Kansas. They were, Kevin Durant was the National Player of the Year. But in that year, they were, you know, they were either four or five. I can't remember which side of that they were. Played USC and OJ Mayo in that 4-5 matchup, went home. And it was that pattern all, it was constantly. They'd be in the 8-9 game against teams like Cincinnati, go home. it was a constant pattern of they would beat the teams they were the Vegas favorite against. They would beat, if they were the 3 seed, they would beat the, you know, the 14. They would win that game, but as soon as it got to a point where they had to play a team that was even or a higher seeded team, they went home every single time. Like, literally, Rick Barnes was there for over a decade. He didn't have a single tournament win against a higher-ranked team.
So, essentially, it's like, now they would call it the quad one wins. Like, when when you face the quad one win, quad one team that would be a good win for you, that's where you would struggle.
Yeah, and to answer your question, no, I don't miss him. Like, I get the question because he's gone on to Tennessee and still been very successful, while Texas has had some, you know, wild swings up and down. Obviously, the Shaka Smart era wasn't great, only one tournament appearance with him. Chris Beard had the team in a great spot, but, you know, what happened happened there. And things have been kind of up and down with Rodney Terry. But, no, I don't miss Rick Barnes, because I feel like, kind of like we had this conversation with Buzz, I feel like that team with Texas and Rick Barnes, unless he's – maybe he's adapted. We'll see it. We'll see how far Tennessee goes this year. And he does have a win in the tournament over a team ranked higher than him at Tennessee. But I just feel like they're going to be stuck in a position of, okay, you're going to get Sweet 16, Elite Eight. But you're never going to consistently get to Final Fours or win a national title because he's not able to beat teams ahead of him.
Are you glad in retrospect, looking back, that Shaka was fired?
Yeah,
because Shaka's doing a hell of a job at Marquette.
I mean, he didn't. I mean, he was there 4 years. He made the tournament once. I mean, and I was.
And then he goes to Marquette and takes just an absolute disaster.
I don't really blame Shaka for it. Like, it's hard to know for sure. Maybe a 30-for-30 or a book will come out one day what happened. But there was a lot of things that said, you know, like insiders that say that were kind of working against him just from the hierarchy of the structure of the athletic department there. Just kind of people have trouble winning in Texas. It's kind of similar to a Dallas Cowboys situation where there's a lot going on besides what's on the court or on the field. But, I mean, he's there 4 years to make the tournament once. I mean, I love Shaka Smart. I was ecstatic when they hired him. He was obviously great at VCU leading up to that, getting to a Final Four that was actually in here in Houston before they lost to Butler that year. But you can't go 4 years, make one tournament, and keep your job.
Because at the time, the expectations and the bar was set so high.
He was coming off of Final Four with VCU. They knocked out Kansas the year the Kansas had the Morris twins there.
If you can do it at VCU, and now you're going to a program like Texas with all the facilities and the money, you should be able to do that almost in the first couple of years. So I understand.
Yeah, expectations were through the roof, and he never delivered, unfortunately.
Someone said that Buzz is the college equivalent of Doc Rivers.
Ooh.
But the problem is Doc won one.
Yeah, he won one with Garnett and Pierce and Ray Allen. Yeah, that's the problem. I guess the pushback the excuse you could put there would be that Buzz hasn't had his KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen.
But isn't that also on Buzz if he's got all the resources and everything too?
Yeah, especially now in an age of NIL and the transfer portal. You could definitely make that argument, but yeah, it's not a bad comparison because, you know, Doc Rivers in most cases will have you with a good regular season. He'll get you in the playoffs. He might win a series, but you're probably, unless you have that
I'm
special
tell you
year
Brian,
with, you know.
I watching the Bucks games as much as I do.
Right.
I have lost so much respect for Doc Rivers as a coach. Like, I always was the one that would stick up for him going, hey, he won a championship. He's done something.
You think the game's passed him by?
I just think, like, the play.
Even he's been in the game for a long time.
Like the
now.
Rockets game when they were here, the plays that he drew up, and the way they were not executed, and the play, and just the way he was, and the things he told his team to do with either one or no timeouts, like they're down three, with like 30 seconds left, and Giannis is inside, and he's got 3-point shooters on the perimeter, and he tells Giannis just dunk it, okay, now you got a foul and you got a hope, and then he runs a play off a screen for Lopez for a 40-foot 3-point shot and I'm going. And then after the game, they started questioning him. He didn't want to answer. I go, you need to answer those questions. Those were horrible decisions. So I don't think – I've lost a lot of respect for Doc, but that's
a
different
story. Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, I mean, maybe – Doc's been in the game for such a long time. I mean, he goes back to – doesn't he go back to T-Max A's with the Magic?
Maybe.
I think he does.
Yeah, I think that sounds
2004, 2003 era with the Magic. So it could be a case where maybe the game's just started to pass him by. Certainly the game's changed a lot since that era.
No doubt. Well, the game changed today because Barry Laminek is late, but he
still
should be here any moment. He said he's shaved. Not with a razor. He shaved about 11 or 12 minutes off his ETA, but that would have put him here at about speeding. Oh, he's a horrible driver.
Oh, still? Okay, he drives in from work. Like, is he
Northside? Your area, I think.
Oh, okay. So Northside? I don't see how you could shave. Even if you go 80 miles an hour the entire way, you're not shaving off 11 minutes.
We'll see. He's due to be here any minute.
Possible.
Well, but that doesn't stop Barry Lemon.
Okay, so, all right.
He'll be here. Kelly Eco's going to join us to talk some Rockets as they get ready to take on the Mavericks tonight. Every game important, as Todd the Show pointed out. With a little help tonight, the Rockets could actually move all the way up to the 2 seed in a tie. That's interesting. So we could be watching something for over the weekend as the Rockets try to climb the ladder in the Western Conference. And then we're going to have DJ Bienemé join us later in the show, because DJ's been very vocal fighting some of the narrative that's out there about the culture of the offensive line and the culture in the locker room as it related to Laremy Tunsil, and maybe some other things to talk about with him, like who is or could be coming in, and are they interested in a guy like Cooper Kupp, because that was one of the rumors. We'll get all that, and you are a part of the show. 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. Hit us up on YouTube. Hit us up on Twitch. Hit us up on Twitter. He's BMAC. I'm Joel. We're the Killer Bees. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So I'm reading the text messages as we continue with the show. And Nola Jason texts the show, "I can be late too for less money." So without further ado, my co-host for the day, none other than Barry Laminek, joins myself and Brian McDonald. Barry, great to see you, man.
What's up, just, big dog?
I mean, the prep time was phenomenal for us as a show. I was excited. And as BMAC, I just got to let you know, BMAC called it. Like, I said to BMAC after you called me, I was like, "Hey, BMAC, Barry's going to be 15, 20 minutes late, so we'll just fill." And he's like, "Yeah, isn't he always?"
Wow. I've been late.
I mean, we come to expect it.
I've been late once. I've been late once, and the one time I was late, I think it was car trouble. I've got 150+ thousand miles on this car. You got to remember, I'm a road comic. I almost cussed.
Woo!
This son of a gun is coming to the end of its life, and
the white shadow.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is, and I need a mechanic. Part of the problem is because my wife said her friend has the same car, it's a Honda Accord. When the gas gets low, like when I let my tank get down, which I always run.
Which you're not supposed to do.
Like, I always.
How far are you pushing it?
Oh, I'll get to zero. I'll get to, like, -8.
Have the little thing that says you have this many miles left?
Yeah. I have, like, I'll do, like, I don't know. I try to set a record to see how long I can go on zero.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a Kramer situation.
Well, I can just tell you that one backfired on me.
Did it? You ran out?
So the
you really shouldn't push under 40.
No. Here's the thing.
Under 40? What are you?
We're talking under 40.
Never mind.
Wait, under 40 miles left to get? Are you kidding?
Are you kidding me?
No, you should. I mean, no, because now some of this has gone away as cars have gotten better. But some of that is not only the risk of the meter being right, but also because the car will suck in things that will harm your car if you leave this.
I don't know where we got to that.
Okay.
Are we looking at the...
are we still talking about the car?
Yeah. Okay. I was gonna say, whoa, hey. whatever you're sucking in and kicking out, that's kind of like, sounds like the show was supposed to be off today. But here's the thing. So I trust my car.
Yeah.
So if my car says I got 8 miles left, I'm 4 miles from the gas station.
So there's no chance you think it's wrong.
I'm good. Right. But then you got to factor in, like,
it's a guess.
Okay. But here's the problem.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's a guess.
It's 2025. Well, this car was made in 2018, but still. It's technology.
Yeah, but it's guessing depending upon road conditions, depending on what type of traffic you're driving in. No. If anything changes, that could be different.
No. Because I have spent countless hours in this car. Joel, you've done the same.
Yep.
You know just exactly, like, I know exactly how many, like, you know, my gas gauge, it's got little segments. And there's 10 of them. And when I fill up a tank, it's roughly 400 miles to the gallon. That's about 40 miles per segment. When that last segment hits, it says I got 40 miles left. And when that bad boy is gone, it says zero, but that still means I got about 20.
Here's where Brian borders on being a little bit right, okay? Because this is where I got caught, and I probably shouldn't admit this, but I'm going to. Because I know my wife doesn't listen to this show because she hates the environment.
I'm texting her as we speak.
Yeah. So I have Taylor in the car.
He has Taylor in the car.
And we were driving. I forget. We were coming from downtown.
She's still texting.
So she's always quick to go, Dad, you need gas. The light's on. I said, I see it. I'm good.
Oh, my God.
So we're driving towards the house, and it tells me I have like 11 miles left, 8 or 11 miles. I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to make sure that I'm not going like 90, 80. I'm going like the speed limit. But I'm going, and all of a sudden, I'm like, it starts slowing down.
Oh.
And it starts, and I'm going, what the? And the gauge says I still have like 6 or 7. I'm going, wait a minute. But then I was like, well, now I got a kid in the car, so I got to make a different decision. So now I put my signal on. I get all the way to the far right on the exit, and all of a sudden it just shuts off.
No.
So I coast all the way down and then get it in like the first driveway, and there's a gas station like a couple blocks away. So I'm like, Tay, come on. And I got a gas can. And we go and we fill it up and we bring it back. I was like, don't ever tell your mom that.
Listen, I'll buy you.
Yeah. I was like, exactly right. I was like, hey, we'll go somewhere.
I'll buy you a new DeMarine hat. Whatever you want.
Yeah, if you're listening, use this.
Yeah.
Use
so this. I was like, but this was years ago. So now the statute of limitations. I think I'm off hook.
No.
But at the same time,
son, she
to this day,
tattle.
Taylor will go, hey,
the
Dad.
White rage never expires.
And I was like, not when your mom's in the car. She'll go, hey, Dad, there's that gas station. I'm like, yep, got it. Yep, we're good. Don't need to keep saying that. But yep, that's the one. And I was like, I learned my lesson on the highway. That gauge is wrong.
I mean, I've never ran out. The problem that I have and that I had today is, so I leave the house, right? And I need gas because I have 0 bars left. Okay, no problem. I pull into the gas station, and what inevitably happens is, this has happened to me on the road several times. It's just, but it's happening more often now. So I don't know if I need a fuel pump or if I need to have my gas tank cleaned, like I need to have it dropped. And I don't know what's going on. But what happens is, and Nora said she has a friend who has a Honda Accord. And I think it's the same year, 2018. But
so her girlfriend has a Honda doing workout tapes by Fonda?
Okay.
I'm just asking. It was right there.
It was right there.
You set it up.
Right there. But so what happens is, like, I'll fill up. And then as I'm leaving, and this is how, I don't know if I told this story here. It may have just been on my show, but I almost ended up getting in a fight with like a gas station owner in Texarkana. Did I tell that story here?
No, you told the one where you were in the same gas station as a mass murderer.
Oh,
I remember the mass murderer thing. Oh. Or at least you thought it was a mass murderer.
Yeah, no. I almost ended up fighting a guy.
You were in the stall and dropped something under the...
Yeah, no.
Two taps,
wrong.
You thought it meant this, no, but it meant something else.
That was a Republican.
Oh. Okay.
No, I almost ended up fighting some guy at a Texarkana gas station because my car stalled out. And it's happened several times, and it's started to happen more frequently. But basically, I stopped, I get gas, I get in the car, I start it up, I go to take off, and it just sputters and dies. And then it won't start. I sit there, I start it, it starts up. As I go to give it gas, it just dies, and then it won't start. And then I literally just have to sit there for like 15, 20 minutes. And that's essentially what happened. And I'm like,
this is erectile dysfunction, or this is the Honda? I mean, it starts, it stops. You keep trying, then you just got to sit there for like 15 minutes.
I can't get it going.
There you go. I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out. Maybe you got.
I didn't know.
Maybe you really got your wires crossed.
Yeah, yeah, Joel.
I know there's a refractory period on a Honda Accord.
No.
I just you know, give some what is this, sildenafil to my. Just pop one in the tank and.
Oh, Donna's in here. She's
off
in,
we
she's,
go.
She's in YouTube.
She. So I don't know what's going on. If there's a mechanic listening, what is happening to my car? I don't know. I don't know if it's just because there's dirt in the tank, and when I get that low,
which happens from running the gas tank too far.
All right,
here comes Mr. Goodrich.
What I tell you, the beginning of this segment,
bro. I don't need a work wife, especially this isn't even my job.
Trust me,
all
not
right?
interested.
I'm filling in. I don't need a part-time fill-in work.
Well, you're
wife.
Running in, and then you're filling.
Okay, that's accurate.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. It's the damnedest thing, and then like I told you, it's starting to happen more, and it's a pain in the ass. It happens on the road, which is really bad.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it is. It hasn't happened to the point to where it's like died while.
So you think
I'm
it's
driving.
A pain in the gas, not a pain in the ass?
Okay. Yes.
So
accurate.
Maybe you want to get that thing to a mechanic.
I might need a new car. It's paid for, though, and that's why I don't want to get rid of it. I don't have a car payment.
I hear you on that. I told you that the time I got hit by a young girl that ran the red and hit me and another car and totaled both of our cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, well, you can get a new car, but then you still have a car payment and blah, 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 blah. Or because she totaled both, but her insurance is having a hard time. Instead, they'll just give you a brand new frame, and my car wasn't you and I were doing a show that day.
Yep.
And I was like, hey, car would be completely paid for, brand new frame, everything else on the car was good enough.
Yep.
I'm rolling that route because I don't need the car note.
Oh, man, it's so nice not having a car note.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
That's what I'm saying, man. Listen, if I just need to, you know, drop a gas tank and have it cleaned out and get a new fuel pump, new fuel filter, I'll do that.
Awake Reaper says you might have transmission issues. And HGX Rhino says you are using stop-and-go, stop-and-rob gas. You're getting the wrong gas. Brian says on here, dumbass runs the gas all the way to empty. That's his problem.
Okay, well, first of all, sir, you didn't have to call me a dumbass.
Oh, I just made that up. That was from Brian.
Oh.
Yeah. You just added that on?
Yeah, I did. Okay. Huh? For that very reason, I wanted to see the reaction because I knew it was coming.
Okay. That Brian.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I said that?
Yeah, in the Twitch, because you're in there all the time.
Oh, yeah, I'm constantly in there. The people there love me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Twitch is a big fan.
Between the three of us,
people.
We will never run for office.
No,
in the Twitch world.
Not on Twitch?
No.
I'm running for Twitch president? Yeah.
That's a fact. All right, hey, let's table
so
the rest
of this. I apologize, gentlemen and listeners.
Apology accepted.
Yeah, I try not to do that. I in all of our years of doing a show, I don't think I ever was late for one. Okay.
I mean, look, I'm not going to rack my brain.
Don't start rewriting history.
I'll roll
here.
With it, but I don't.
Don't start rewriting history. Maybe one or two here or there, but we all either leave early or come in late every once in a while.
Well,
what's the difference? That's the thing. What's the difference between getting in late or leaving early? Huh? Is there? I mean,
I don't see a difference.
Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, what's the difference if you know somebody?
I don't
like,
do
hey,
either. As I've been referred to the Cal Ripken of this show.
Mm. Oh, now hold
on. On the very rare occasion that there's a family emergency.
Ooh, now, you're not Jeremy.
Call me.
Jeremy.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Oh.
Barry.
Oh, yes. Thank you,
Representative Barry.
I believe last time I had to do the final segment.
Yeah, you and I did the final segment together.
Oh, okay.
Because there was a family emergency.
But I'm just saying, don't start throwing stones.
Okay.
Okay. See?
Good luck getting your pipes cleaned out or whatever the hell your problem is.
See what happens? Yeah. He talks so much smack to me, and then as soon as I bring it up. Mm-hmm. God, I got 19 work wives. This is crazy.
Mm. Don't go to 20. All right. Kelly Eco's going to join us next. Talk a little Rockets basketball as they get ready for the Dallas Mavericks tonight. And like I said, they got a chance to absolutely climb the standings in the Western Conference. So we'll talk to Kelly, catch up with a whole bunch of stuff with him, and a whole lot more. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Hey, without further ado, my good friend Kelly Eco, the beat writer for your Houston Rockets for The Athletic, joins us right now on the HR&P guest line as Barry and I are here, Kelly. And I wanted to catch up with you because, as Todd the Show on our Twitch line was talking about, look, there's a chance for this team right now to actually gain some ground in the standings. Lakers lose last night. They got a tough one tonight against Denver. Depending on what Memphis does, if the Rockets can beat Dallas, there's a chance they could be tied for the second best record in the Western Conference at this stage in the season, and that would seem to me like a pretty positive thing.
Yeah, because if you look at the current Western Conference landscape as far as the playoffs is concerned, a lot of tough matchups potentially if they were to see them in a first round series. So not only is it important that they get home court, you know, if they can get a favorable, you know, pairing that first round, I think that's going to be important as well. Like, if you look at the Grizzlies, that might be a favorable pairing opposed to like a Lakers or even a Timberwolves. You know, they're tough teams, 1 through really 9 in the Western Conference as it pertains to a playoff series. And, you know, those games get kind of tricky. So the more games they win, the better. But at some point, you also need to look at potential matchups and how to kind of gain some of these games.
Hey, Kelly, what's up? This is Barry, man. Hey, they weathered a storm there. They kind of were scuffling a little bit. Do you think they're through it? Do you think they learned something from kind of going through that dip and now they're through the other side and they're better for it?
Yes or no. You know, because they have had so many injuries this season and the lack of consistency on different levels, it's kind of hard to find a long-term rhythm, especially when you have guys in and out of the lineup. Fred just came back, but he was out for a while. Jabari was out for a while. He came back. They're still trying to manage Tari. You know, they're still trying to manage Steven Adams. Ben Thompson is out currently. So, you know, that skid that they went on, you know, falling to fifth in the Western Conference, you know, it taught them some things about how to finish games. But, you know, they have kind of a mixed bag of a schedule to close the year. Like, they have Dallas, then they got Chicago. But then they also got to see Denver this month. They got to see the Lakers this month. They got to see Phoenix again this month. So, you know, for a young team trying to go from point A to point B, all this is just about collecting experience, but more about learning how to plan for the future in terms of how to prepare for games better.
We talk about the future, Kel. A lot of people had a lot to say after the Phoenix game the other night. The fact that both Booker and Durant were in town, the rumors won't go away. There's lots of other innuendo out there simply because you hear from, I believe it was McMahon that said that on a podcast with Windhorst that, right, you know, that Tillman's son and Rafael had to talk Tillman out of trying to make a move for a big fish this last offseason. If they don't, right, if they don't have a lot of postseason success, is that the anecdote to where Tillman decides we need to make a move to get that star this offseason?
I think so. I think, you know, having not had a playoff game in Toyota Center in almost 6 years, I think getting back to the playoffs is a big plus for them. But, you know, depending on how they end up going about in that series, that could determine, you know, how aggressive they are in the market. Like, if they end up flaming out in 4 or 5 games in the first round, it's going to put ownership at more of an incentive to go and acquire a big fish than if they were to make some Cinderella run to, like, a Western Conference Finals or something. So I think how they fare in the playoffs directly correlates to how aggressive they are in the market.
Kelly, do you think this team as constructed, I mean, we've seen them dip to 5, right? And we just talked about, are they going to, you know, if they don't make a deep playoff run, are they constructed for that as is? I mean, we've seen them play well against Memphis. We've seen them play well against some of these other teams. Granted, the trade deadline has come and gone, and some of these other teams look a lot different.
Yeah, they have. But the problem that the Rockets are going to run into is that when the playoffs arrive and you're a team that has struggled to create efficient offense in the half court on a routine basis, you're going to run into problems. Especially, you know, given the fact that, yes, this is the number 2 defense in the league, but they were 27th in points allowed per isolation. And, you know, the playoffs, if there's one thing that the playoffs have shown me is that the more talented ISO scores you have, the better. And if they were to match up with the Lakers or even a Minnesota or a Phoenix, like, those are teams that have isolation scores that can punish you on a routine basis. Now, factor into the fact that this is an average three-point shooting team at best, you know, you run the risk of running into issues down the line. So, you know, when the games get tighter, the rotations get smaller, each possession matters more than the last, you run into a situation where if you can't create shots at a routine, timely basis, you're going to end up, you know, losing in five or six games.
So I kind of figured you were going to say that. I know Joel probably agrees with you on that.
No idea what you're talking
about. But I asked it because I'm curious. Do you think that Ime with this double big lineup is kind of preparing them and running this and getting them used to that for the playoffs? Because we do know the game slows down. It's a half-court game. And that double big lineup kind of does allow them to slow the game down and play more of a half-court set. Is that, do you think that that's kind of in preparation and getting them prepared for the playoffs more with that kind of lineup?
Yeah, that's another thing. If you go back to Ime's time in Boston, he has used the double big lineup before, and he's used it to great effect. So him, you know, making the Rockets more comfortable playing Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams together, you know, in the long run, it's going to allow them to slow games down, like you said. It also just gives them an edge. You know, if you're a team that doesn't have a true go-to guy, you can find advantages in the margins by creating them. And how you do that is by having different in-game lineups, different tweaks, different X factors that can change the game on its head. One of them is going double big with Steven and Alpi. Another one is going small, you know, with Jabari at the five. And just giving yourself different options to look at because the playoffs is all about, it's a chess match, right? And who can outgame the other opponent in a 48-minute span. So the Rockets have to look for every and any advantage they can. And one that they found is they have found a lot of success with the double big lineup. Now, using that in March and in April might be two very different things, especially when you have, you know, in this day and age, you can have so much film on a team, you can study and break things down to a T. So I'm not saying that the double big lineup will work every time, but as far as, you know, things in Ime's back pocket, it is one thing to pull out, you know, if the situation calls for it.
Well, Kel, as the president of the fan club, I'm going to have to ask this one more time because I seem to have to ask it every time you're on. The hell is going on with Cam Whitmore? And I don't want the whole politically correct response because I'm tired of watching it. The body language on the bench sucks. Obviously, since the All-Star break, he has fallen out of favor. But then when they call his number, he puts up 27, 28 points. It's a career high. He plays his tail off. The very next night, he doesn't play. Then he's basically getting cleanup minutes. And it's so frustrating to me because I know the kid's got talent, but is this something that we just have to get used to that's not going to change between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, I really don't see it changing. I just think it's one of those situations where you've been around the league long enough to see sometimes players and, you know, situations just don't mesh for whatever reason. Like, for some reason, you are not in the coach's immediate plans. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to be professional and play your role when your number is called, but
okay, but Kel, you say there's nothing you can do about it, but we know that in Ime's system, because we see it, if he just would play defense or just not shoot it every time it touches his hands, I actually think there are things he could do that might help the situation. Because here's my fear.
Yeah.
They're going to pull the plug on him. They're going to trade him and throw him in a trade, and then he's going to become something somewhere else, and that would pain me.
Right. And I think the problem with the whole if you just play defense and stuff, is that we've seen him come back from the G League and at least look better in terms of being more engaged defensively, not taking that's available. He has improved in some of those areas, but the problem is when you have other guys that Ime depends on and trusts more, you know, you're fighting for the same minutes. There's never going to be a situation where Ime's going to have Tarn and Cam and go with the latter. It's just not going to happen. because of how much trust he has in Tari. The same with Jabari, right? Like, the same with the men. Like, those are the guys who play similar positions to Cam, where the minutes are coming from. So unless you're talking about a major leap in defensive potential where you kind of leapfrog Atari or Jabari, like, and I don't see it happening right now, it's kind of hard to pigeonhole where he can play in a playoff series. Now, the flip side of that is, when the playoffs come, you do need an X-Factor, like I talked about. And he is, because of what he could do offensively, he is an X-Factor. And I do think there's a time and place for Cam. I just don't know if, you know, between now and the end of the year, he's going to ever get consistent minutes. It's just not going to happen. Like, it's just not going to happen. Dylan is playing great. Tari is playing great. Jabari is playing well since he returned. It's a logjam. It always has been. So you have to kind of wait your turn. As crappy as that sounds, because that's literally the answer.
Man, I'm with you guys. Cam is fun and exciting, and he's a lot of fun to watch. And I don't want to say that this is a one-to-one, apples-to-apples comparison, but sometimes I get Kevin Porter Jr. vibes.
Oh, no.
I do. I'm just telling you what I get.
We'll talk during the break.
But I just get kind of Kevin Porter Jr. vibes on the court. Tons of talent, dynamic playmaker, and then it's just like...
Now, Cal's with me. I do
want to bring this up, because last time the three of us were together talking Rockets, I mentioned that I thought, when he came back, Jabari Smith would be coming off the bench, and you guys said, well, he was going to be disgruntled. I think he's been handling it well. Would you disagree, Kelly? I think he's handled this spectacularly. I think his attitude has been great.
Yeah. I mean, Jabari's always been that guy in terms of team first guy.
You guys said that you were worried about his attitude because he wanted the ball more.
I'm always worried, when you have young players that have spent their entire lives playing in a featured role and you have to suddenly change overnight, I sometimes worry about how you can respond in the interim. But credit to Jabari, he's been a professional. He's praised those guys, and he's come in and played his role because, you know, if we're being completely honest, there is potentially a bigger role for him as a sixth man. You know, being the focal point of the second unit and being that small ball center, then you just trying to fit in with, you know, trying to look for the ball with Fred, Jalen, Al Pete, and no, it's not going to happen. So, I think him accepting and embracing that bench role has paid off tremendously for him.
I mean, he played 33 minutes against the Suns. He probably might not have gotten that started.
Yeah,
so.
And it's not even about who starts the game, it's who closes there. I think he's always going to be part of
the old Sam Cassell thing, right?
I mean, if he may leave starters in when they're up 30, I mean, there's a chance that he could have another starting job before you know it. But that's just me. I know, Kelly, you didn't say it. It's fine. You have a game to cover. You don't want to run into Ime. I get it. I said it, okay?
I love you, Joel.
There you go. Kel, we appreciate you, buddy. Always follow Kelly at The Athletic and follow all of his work. He covers 18 teams in the NBA, but his primary teams are Memphis, San Antonio, and the Houston Rockets.
It'd be easier to just list who he doesn't cover.
Pretty much the Lakers and Celtics. Yeah. That's it. Otherwise, Kelly's on it. Kel, appreciate you. Have a good weekend. That's Kelly Eco of The Athletic.
Thank you, guys.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with a whole lot more. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. To the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, we're back on the Bees. We always appreciate Kelly Eco joining us. If you want to join us and, like, hang out with us, Monday is St. Patrick's Day. If you don't know, now you know. You're welcome, Ari. We're going to be at Kobo's in Edo, right there by the GRB. Party starting at 7 a.m., opening just for us, so you guys can have your fill of St. Patrick's Day and celebrate all day with our entire lineup. Cobos, Monday the 17th. We would love to see you all out there with us.
Just for the record, St. Patrick's Day is Tuesday.
Oh, so we're going to be there Tuesday or Monday?
No, we're there Monday, but St. Patrick's Day is Tuesday.
Okay, well, I decided that today, Monday, we're celebrating our version of St. Patrick's Day. Gotcha. On Monday at Cobos, Dr. Dre is an honorary investor in Cobos, so I'm sure he'll be there. And all the Twitchers that are scared little you-know-whats, they won't. So what did you think about what Kelly had to say? I thought it was interesting because a lot of times, you know, Kelly covers the team and he doesn't want to ruffle any feathers unless he's writing an article. But it just seems to me that this season is still so much up in the air simply because, like Todd was saying, like you win tonight, get a little help, you could be the 2 seed tied for the second best record. But you're only 3 games from Golden State passing you up and being in the play-in.
Yeah, that's what's crazy is it's so log-jammed. Memphis, Denver, both 42 and 24. Los Angeles, 40 and 24. Rockets, 41 and 25. It's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and then Golden State's the outlier at 38 and 20.
And they're hot.
Yeah.
Well, won again last night.
9-1 in their last 10, 6 in a row.
Jimmy's been a good addition.
Yeah. Luka's been a good addition to the Lakers.
Yeah, but
I guess.
With LeBron going out.
Yeah.
Luka, I watched him last night.
I guess, tongue
yeah, but,
in cheek.
But chemistry, he had 45 last night.
Yeah.
He's fat, I guess, according to people, but he had 45.
Luka's fat?
Well, that's part of the reason why Dallas got rid of him because they said, well, if he was fat and he carried you to the finals.
Nikola?
I mean, I'm not going to say he's that doughy, but at the same time, yeah, that's a 3-time MVP. You're talking about Luka, a guy that basically, because people forget now, Kyrie was a no-show in the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And Luka's fat ass, if that's what you think he had.
It's crazy.
Carried them all the way to the finals.
It's so wild to me that people say this kinds of things. Like, did you see the whole everyone freaking out because Tua was on a boat? Did you see that video?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. People were losing their mind on social media. There was a video going around of Tua on a boat. He looked like you and me without a shirt. Just dad bod, gut. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, Nikola Jokic looks like the poop emoji, but white. Without a shirt on. Like, it's just like, but they're athletes. It doesn't matter. They're still skilled. Like, it doesn't matter that Luka's not cut and ripped. They still get the job done. That's what matters. Not how they look aesthetically. And yeah, that's wild to me still, that trade. But LeBron going down, yeah, obviously pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
That chemistry thing is going to be interesting with them.
I just don't think they have enough big guys. Like, I they were trying to make that move that then they rescinded to help get bigger up front. But I just don't know. You mentioned Jokic. If Jokic is truly on a team that's the second best team in the Western Conference and they're fighting with the Lakers and those two teams meet up in the playoffs, tell me, they had LeBron on him the last time. Yeah. There's no way LeBron, and I don't care how strong he is, and he's 40-something, and I'm 40-something. But guess what? He ain't stopping Jokic.
Who's guard name?
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron, that's what's interesting is you look at the West and outside of the Thunder, I mean, if the Nuggets have finally climbed back into it.
But, I think to me, they're the second best team in the West.
Oh, yeah. And who can stop Jokic mm-hmm. in the playoffs?
Well, but then Russ is coming off the bench playing well. Now Murray's playing well. They're getting help from the Porter Jr. starting to play again. They're getting help from the guys that they've paid a lot of money to, and they've got some young guys like Brown that are playing mm-hmm. to where they're going to be a force come playoff time mm-hmm. if they stay healthy.
And they'll probably finish second in the West when it's
so
all
too.
Said and
yep.
done.
Yep.
Which means outside of the Thunder, you're going to have to travel and play them. Mm-hmm. No matter who you are, you don't want to go to Denver and play. Everybody knows the altitude. You can say it doesn't matter. Yeah. It does.
It does.
It always does. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. But that's also why I asked about that double big thing, because mm-hmm. Not that they're going to be able to stop Jokic, but it is somewhat of an answer. It's not a complete answer, but the Rockets are one of the few teams that I think will be in the playoffs that have some sort of a big man presence, at least in the top six. When you look at it, the Warriors don't really have a big man presence that that you think is, you know, legitimate. Memphis, the Thunder do. I mean, the Thunder can do whatever they want. They've got bigs. They've got
they're complete.
Mids, yeah, they've got yeah. everything. Yep. The Thunder are the most complete team in basketball. And that includes the Celtics.
I think the Celtics are the most complete team in basketball, but I think, you know, in the West, conference, there's no doubt. Yeah, I mean, Hartenstein to me is not great. I think that Al Horford's a more skilled three-point shooting
big.
Well,
I was thinking Chet, too.
Chet's a four, and he's still really skinny. I mean, he's effective.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I remember when the Rock, everybody was fearful of the fact that that OKC was going to take Jabari. And that we were going to get quote unquote stuck with Chet. And I was one of those guys like, damn, please. I don't know that I want Chet. He might be a bust. And now I look at it and go, I'd take Chet over Jabari right now.
Could you imagine?
Man.
Could you imagine this Rockets team with
Who wouldn't
Chet?
Take Chet over Jabari right now?
My goodness.
Aside from Kevin Joseph, who's worried that they're going to trade Jabari and he's going to become a star somewhere, I'm not one of those people.
What?
I'd take Chet over Jabari right now. I'd take it. Oh, 100%. And I'm wrong for not thinking that from the time they drafted
him. Yeah. 100%.
So it'll be interesting. But I mentioned this, that Tim McMahon had said this on the podcast with Brian Windhorst. It is an interesting proposition to think of what happens next. Because McMahon, as he explains it, basically says that Tillman's son and Rafael Stone had to talk Tillman out of wanting to make the big move already to take to this phase two that they always talk about. I don't want to break up the young group that they have. But it is kind of a tale of two scenarios within the young group because I really don't believe that Jalen's ever going to become what everybody's hoping he becomes. But I believe Şengün is already better than I thought he would be. Amen, the sky is the limit. Mm. Tari, really good, got to stay healthy. But Reed Shepard, we've got guys that are willing to pull the plug on Reed Shepard. He's basically 20 years old in his first year in the league. He's going to be just fine. And I love Cam. So I think that there's enough talent on this team that I'm a little skeptical of how much you'd have to give up to get someone. And I don't think Booker is a go-to number one. And I think Kevin Durant's too old to be a guy, and you'd only get him for about 2 years to give up a lot of youth that are going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you go that route. I don't think that the players that you have plus the players that you would have to give up to get those kinds of stars would translate into a team that would be ready and a team that would have the necessary talent to not even just compete with, but beat Denver and Jokic, the Thunder as constructed, and then roll into the finals and beat the Celtics as constructed.
That's the thing. It's like,
in the next year
it's like the Jordan
or three.
Era, right? You could be the best team, not named the Bulls, but as long as you still got to beat the Bulls, you ain't getting where you need to go. You might be lucky enough to at least get there, like Stockton and Malone or Payton and the Rain Man, but it doesn't guarantee you anything if you're going up against the GOAT.
Listen, maybe, just maybe, Jokic will go play baseball for 2 years.
Yeah. Don't say the other thing. Just don't say the gambling and the father thing.
I would never do that.
But the two brothers might beat your ass.
I would never do that. But maybe they'll
never say never.
All right, I might do that. But maybe that'll be their best chance. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You've got to construct a team. You've got to be mindful of the fact that you're not just – I mean, you've got to put the best team together. But you've got to put a team together that compete with – and not just, you know, Boston and Denver and the Thunder now, but hell, Cleveland.
Cleveland's playing good ball.
Cleveland's really good. I don't know
Minnesota
how long that's going
to
last.
Minnesota got off to a slow start, which is hurting them. Minnesota's still really talented. Yeah. If you got Anthony Edwards, you got a chance.
Yeah. And so that's the thing, man. What do you got to give up to get those guys? And
that's...
I'm with you, man. I like the core nucleus, and I'm with you, too. I was kind of... Man, there was a few years ago where I was like, it's Al P, and you could get rid of everybody.
See, I think Amen is that guy now.
And I'm with you on that, too. Jalen Green was never the guy for me. He never was. He was never going to be. And I'm with you now. It was Al P and whatever else. And now that I've watched Amen do, I'm like, okay, it's Al P, it's Amen. And you could just build around that. You could trade everybody else, and I'd be fine with it. Nobody is untouchable except for those two, in my mind.
I'm pretty close to that.
Everybody else, you could make moves because, you know, if you could get superstars for anybody else, not name those two, do it.
Okay, we got to get you a break. Second hour of the show's coming up. DJ Bieniemy is going to join us at 4:15, talk everything Texans. He's had a lot to say about the moves they've already made, and then we're curious about what moves they could be making. And car wreck of the day, everybody's playing for second, as the text line has already notated. But Brian, if he wants to get knocked off his pedestal by the end of the show, you can call 713-780-3776, or you can text us, or you can get to us on social media. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.